Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. We design, craft and install beautiful kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb@rte.ie.
Well, the final debate of the presidential campaign took place last night on RTE Primetime between Fine Gael's Heather Humphreys and the independent candidate Catherine Connolly. Voting, of course, is going to happen on Friday to elect Ireland's 10th president. And here to tell us how they think the candidates fared last night are journalist and commentator Alison O'Connor and Fionnán Sheehan, who's Ireland editor with the Irish Independent. And thanks to both of you for coming in to review the crunch battle, the last key debate of the campaign. Alison, did it live up to all of that?
It was a debate, I suppose. Or well, it was, as I saw someone else saying, it was more like an interview in that we didn't really have that much interaction between the two candidates, even though they had been asked to interact more. I'm going to be honest, when it finished, I was relieved, not just relieved that it was over, but that that was the last debate we would ever have to listen to or watch between these two candidates. And in fairness to them, I'd say they're hugely relieved, because I think the fact that we've only had two candidates, it's been very difficult on them and on those who've been listening to all of it. Although I will say that I think that Miriam McAllen and Sarah McInerney prepared well, in that they did try and circumvent some of, particularly in the case of Catherine Connolly, where she might have been asked a question, whether it be on Syria or the Airigi woman, whatever, where she would circumnavigate the houses and then kind of work down the clock, really, if you like. Whereas they tried to say, look, you've already told us X and Y, and try and get more straight into it. I will say that at the end of all of those debates that we've listened to, there are still all of those questions have been left outstanding, as in the details, the answers. Catherine Connolly can say with great pride, I think, that she remained true to herself and didn't give specifics. But equally, you can say that at the end of it all, Heather Humphreys failed to put the opposition to the pinafore collar. There were a number of kind of open goals last night where, even in relation to her barristerial work and that, where she could have caused more damage, asking Catherine Connolly for more detail about people being put out of their houses, or even in relation to the organisation of the Syria trip, such as last night, Catherine Connolly said that a private individual had organised it. Heather could have asked for more details on that, but she didn't. Again, you're wondering at this point in time, how many new people tuned in last night? How many people was this news to? How much of it possibly is more sort of inside the beltway stuff that people like us pay attention to?
So essentially you're saying you didn't think that it changed anything?
I didn't think. And I think you can say that if you look at the Heather Humphreys of the first debate on Virgin Media compared to last night, that there was a vast improvement, because Heather was pretty absent from that. But actually where she was last night should have been where she started. Do you know what I mean? And worked up, because she's debating against somebody who is really accomplished in her public performances. And at early doors last night, again, Heather Humphreys was saying, I am middle of the road. I'm not hard left. I'm not hard right. But unfortunately, the way this campaign has gone for her, the ultimate message there, I think, is I'm average. And people don't want average. There may be some people who that appeals to, who are a bit like, I've heard people say, a number of people say, a version of, yeah, I do. I like Catherine Connolly, but she worries me. And obviously, Heather Humphreys is trying to get at that aspect of it. But in doing so, I think in a funny...
You think what people are hearing is a different message.
Because we haven't, throughout this whole thing, we have heard very little. And again, this is, I suppose, because there were so many different issues that came up, controversies, if you like, that Catherine Connolly has apparently managed to bat away. We'll see that fully on Friday, where we've had very little of the vision thing or, you know, where they would bring the presidency or what they would do with
it. And we might talk about that in a minute and what the debate tackled. What did you think of it, Fionnán?
It summed up the two candidates that are before you. It is coming back to bite Heather Humphreys quite dramatically over the course of this campaign, that for a decade as cabinet minister, she avoided live TV and radio formats in terms of one-to-one interviews, debates and so on. And you can't pick that up now. Rather than chalking up that experience over that time period, she avoided it. And I'm sorry, but political communications is a key asset to any politician, and it's reflected in her performance. I mean, ultimately, her, what we're saying is her performance was better last night than the start of the campaign, because at least she was awake last night compared to the start of the campaign.
I assume the strategy was at the beginning that you just sit back.
Well, that was a really stupid strategy. Whoever devised that in Fine Gael.
Well, it looked like that was the plan.
Not perhaps engaged again.
And then when Jim Gavin dropped out, or when they saw how the debate went.
Yeah, but Catherine Connolly didn't decide to sit back in the first debate. She engaged in it. There's a lot of problems with Fine Gael's. Fine Gael's ban on other candidates coming into the race as well has now come back against them again as well, because she can't portray herself as, look, I'm different to all these people over here. They're all kind of a gaggle of people who are, you know, on the extremes, and I'm the centrist. That doesn't work on a one-to-one basis. From a Catherine Connolly perspective, she's a very skilled communicator. The more I watched her, I was kind of going, who is she reminding me of? And it's actually Bertie Ahern. It's what Joe Higgins called the handball against the haystack.
Yeah.
You don't get a straight answer to stuff. I mean, the Syria trip. Who organised it? Who paid for it? Who did you meet? Where did you go? We're still none the wiser. There's fellas going on stag parties to Las Vegas, and you get straighter answers out of them in terms of what actually happened over the course of the weekend.
On the she did answer that, didn't she? Didn't she say that it was paid for through parliamentary expenses?
This has gone from, I funded it, which, yeah, but what did you fund it from? You funded it from your parliamentary expenses.
Yeah.
There's a parliamentary allowance paid to independent TDs. And I've no problem with that, because she's basically saying it is a fact-finding mission. You shouldn't have to just go on official trips organised for you by the Department of Foreign Affairs, where you only meet government officials, and that's all that you do. Everything is sanitised, and it's a nice, shiny countries that you go to. Parliamentarians should be allowed to go on trips like this. But if it's a fact-finding mission, we'd like to hear a few facts. That's all. Mm-hmm. So
I think, again, Fionn, what you're forgetting, though, is if you're mentioning stag parties, like in this instance, what happened in Syria stays in Syria?
Well, look, Heather Humphrey's problem is that she's not adept enough to go in on things like that. There were three broad topics that where people have said Catherine Connolly hasn't answered questions sufficiently here: Syria, the repossessions, and the hiring of an IRG person. Yeah. The other one, which was there at the end last night, was infrastructure. An opportunity there for Heather Humphreys to come in. She's not adept enough at what we call political
and fox hunting. Don't forget the fox hunting.
There was this, I found this bit sort of funny, where Catherine Connolly was basically saying with this Irish woman that she would sign her in, and that she nearly had to be glued to her side. You were left with these images of Catherine Connolly being in the chamber and this woman texting saying, "On will Cadigum Dulgathy and Larris, you better get back here quick." I mean, it made no sense.
Yes, she was chaperoning her all over Leinster House.
You get a pass for Leinster House. Obviously, you can't go into the Dáil Chamber or places. There are certain places you can't, but you need to go to the toilet. You want to go to the self-service. I mean, it made no sense. Again, that question was put: Did you ask what was the intention with the guns? That as Fionn is saying, so many questions left unanswered. I think that will be something that will be looked back on in this campaign. I think for a lot of people, and again, this is something that I've been picking up, that journalistically, it's very frustrating not to get straight answers for those. That is portrayed by the Connolly campaign as this sort of conspiracy. It's a smear campaign and trying to blacken the name of Catherine Connolly. But that for many people, I've heard people actually say, I don't want to know now, because I'm voting for Catherine Connolly, because I don't see another option. I don't want this further negative information.
Just on that, you know, whole perception of what the election's going to look like at the weekend. I mean, can we make a prediction on turnout, given that we had, wasn't it 44% the last time?
That was foregone conclusion in that
Michael D's second term,
all
of that.
There really shouldn't have been a competition, and another day who was responsible for that. But this time around, yeah, I think you would be lucky to get 44% in terms of the count. Will it be straightforward? Will it have narrowed in the closing days? Don't know. I still think Catherine Connolly is the overwhelming favourite here to win it, and to win it comprehensively. Your other issue is going to be the spoiled votes, because while they don't count in terms of like what's the final measure, there's a big bundle of votes then that the officers for each candidate have to go through to see, are they spoiled votes or is there a clear preference? Mm-hmm. Now, you could say, lads, would you ever leave that alone over there? It doesn't really matter, those spoiled, there's 1,000 spoiled votes here. It doesn't change.
And a reminder that a vote for Jim Gavin is not a spoiled
vote. It's not a spoiled vote. But the problem is, in 43 constituencies, both campaigns will have a barrister on hand, whose only job will be to go through that, and they will insist on going through every spoiled vote. So it will take time. As a result of that, I would think the signal will go out quite clearly from the Custom House, the Department of Government, to say, we all want to be in the pub by 9 o'clock, lads. Let's get it all done. There isn't going to be overtime into Sunday here.
I heard Malcolm Byrne this morning calling on the diehard Fianna Fáil voters to throw a vote to Jim Gavin if they felt that they couldn't give a number one to anybody else, to do that. And then he called for number twos for Heather Humphreys. I mean, wouldn't it be fascinating if he gets more than the 5% I think predicted in the last poll and manages to get to the point where he gets his expenses back?
Yeah, I mean, that really would be incredible. But I suppose that again points to, we always say that presidential campaigns are vicious and can be. And I suppose there's just been so many negative aspects to this one. It all feels very unsatisfactory, right down to the fact that you're only left with the two candidates at the end. And this idea that, people will vote for either not vote at all, vote for a candidate that isn't really still in the race, even though his name is on it, or that they will vote for one candidate over the other, not wholeheartedly, but in a half-arse way because they feel that's their only choice. Now, I know there is a whole cohort of particularly, as we understand it, young people who feel very strongly that they would like Catherine Connolly as their president. But I think a lot of Middle Ireland, as Heather Humphreys would refer to them, would feel more concerned about. And one of the things that came up last night, where Catherine Connolly was asked about if she met President Trump, and this was about, discussing genocide and that. And she said, if it's just a meet and greet, then I'll meet and greet. If the discussion is genocide, that's a completely different thing. Now, listening to other people this morning, they are taking that as an indication that she wouldn't say anything, considered what many people would consider inappropriate on that. I didn't necessarily pick that up. I picked it up that she was leaving. She was leaving that open, that we're not quite sure. I think it was Sarah McInerney said to her, would we get candidate Connolly or would we get President Connolly? And I suppose that's the ultimate question now. Can the woman who has spent so much time over the last couple of months talking about speaking truth to power and this movement that's behind her, take on then what is sort of, I know Michael Dee has changed it, but the traditional reins of the presidency, and in doing so, disappoint her base, essentially.
Okay, you can't complain about that now, though, after letting Michael Dee Higgins get away with murder at times over the last 14 years. Some of his pronunciations were way over the top and went way beyond what the role of the president is. And not once did a member of any of the governments, any cabinet minister, come out and say, he's gone too far here, he'd want to step back into the Oras and look at the constitution and be reminded of where it's at. So you can't turn around now and say, oh, well, Catherine Connolly might step beyond what the strict remit of the president is. The job has now been changed, and she is making a better effort of articulating what people are looking for there in terms of a president who will not speak at one with the government all the time.
All right. Listen, I'm going to leave it there. Plenty more coverage to come on the election. Of course, voting is on Friday, which is coming up very soon, and there'll be full results coverage here on RT Radio 1 on Saturday. We will take a break, back after this.